Good morning and welcome to The Current. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. And the latest numbers show the population of the U.S. grew by 2.8 million people from 2004 to 2005, fully half of them identifying themselves as Hispanic. It is precisely those growth numbers that have some environmentalists raising concerns and raising hackles, arguing that immigration is central to the United States' environmental problems. It's causing rifts among environmentalists and raising lots of questions, and that is where The Current begins today. Well, what began as a skirmish is looking more and more like an all-out war. For months now, an intense debate about immigration policy has been simmering south of the border. Earlier this month, supporters of an open immigration policy upped the stakes as millions of people took to the streets in cities across the U.S. On Monday, President George Bush fired back, announcing he was deploying the National Guard to the Mexican border.
We do not yet have full control of the border, and I am determined to change that. By the end of 2008, we will increase the number of Border Patrol officers by an additional 6,000. When these new agents are deployed, we will have more than doubled the size of the Border Patrol during my presidency.
Well, as both sides dig in for a prolonged fight, those advocating less immigration have found an unlikely ally inside the environmental movement. Paul Watson, the one-time co-founder of Greenpeace, later the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, has thrown himself headfirst into the debate by challenging the environmental movement to come clean about what he says are the links between immigration, population growth, and resource depletion. And Paul Watson is on the phone from Seattle this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you convinced that immigration is a problem for the environment in the United States?
Well, you know, the United States has got one of the fastest growth rates of any country in the world, and immigration is a major contributor to that. At a growth rate of 1.3% a year, that's going to give us a population of 1 billion in the United States by the end of the 21st century.
And why is that bad?
Well, the average American consumes much more than the average citizen of other countries. So every time you have a new American, you increase the consumption of resources considerably. The U.S. is also, you know, responsible for 25% of all the greenhouse gas emissions in the world. So every time, you know, more Americans, more pollution, more sprawl, more problems.
Well, but new immigrants aren't really the big energy consumers in North American society. Why do you focus on immigrants and not the stereotypical Hummer-driving, air-conditioner-using American?
Well, we do that, too, but the fact is that every year almost 3 million people are added to the U.S. population, and most of that is from immigration. In fact, all we're advocating is that immigration numbers be reduced to levels to achieve stabilization of population. By birth rates alone in the United States, you don't have that increase. Immigration is solely responsible. Not only immigration, but births to by immigrants. Because the birth rate amongst immigrants is far higher than amongst non-immigrants.
Why is that?
Don't really know, except that people who enter the country have a higher birth rate than people who are already living here. That's just an established fact.
Now, are you looking at the U.S. and looking at where there is ecological, environmental damage and attributing it to the number of people living there? Is that what you're doing?
Well, yes, you know, because, you know, every time people come into the U.S., they greatly increase their rate of consumption of resources. The other problem we're concerned about is that there's terrific damage being done, especially in the desert regions of the Southwest, because of people coming over that border, everything from garbage to trampling of species. And this is not only done by immigrants, but also by the patrols against the immigration. So there's that consideration to be taken into account. And you know, the problem is that if we don't control the numbers of the overall U.S. population, we're heading for some very serious problems. The United States is already running out of valuable resources, especially water.
So, but is it a point of you just have too many people in one place in the U.S.? What if they all move to Missouri or something?
No, I think generally it's right across the board. But the other problem is that we have an acceptable form of slavery in the United States, and that is, and when I was recently a director of the Sierra Club, I put forth a motion that one way to deal with this is to demand that farm and factory workers' wages be increased and that they be given full benefits, and that would discourage a lot of illegal immigration. But, you know, people don't really give much thought to the fact that the fields of California, people are working in very, very toxic conditions for long hours, for low wages, and no benefits. And that's just really intolerable. And the only reason it's going on is because big business and big agriculture benefit from cheap labor.
So you're saying that you think the U.S. should curb immigration?
Yes, I think that they should reduce the numbers to achieve stabilization of the population.
Specifically over the Mexican border?
Right across the board. I don't really discriminate against the origins of where immigrants come from. It's right across the board.
Now, this has been a divisive issue in the Sierra Club. You resigned from its board last month in part over this issue. Tell us about that.
Well, I resigned in part because of that and also because of the Sierra Club's pro-hunting stand. But the Sierra Club, as is most major organizations, environmental organizations, has taken a neutral position, which means we don't want to get involved. We don't want to talk about this. You know, back in 1972 at the UN Conference on the Environment, the population issue was the number one concern on the environment. By the UN Conference in Rio in 92, 20 years later, nobody was talking about it.
Why is that?
Well, people just want it's become too politically correct. Nobody wants to talk about it. I'd much prefer to be ecologically correct than politically correct. We have to deal with the fact that it's a contributing factor. And we have to deal with the fact that population is the single greatest source for all of our environmental problems, from diversity of species to pollution to greenhouse emissions. All of this is because there's more and more people. And also, the more people, that means that we have to steal the carrying capacity of other species. They have to disappear for our numbers to increase. And we're going to reach a point where we're going to run out of, you know, key species, and everything's going to collapse because of the ecological law of interdependence.
You yourself are an immigrant.
Well, yes, I'm a permanent resident of the U.S. I'm a Canadian citizen.
Aren't you part of the problem?
Oh, yeah, we're all part of the problem.
Well, what are you suggesting? Are you suggesting sending people back, or are you just...
No. I'm just saying that we have to reduce the number of people coming into the United States to achieve stabilization. That is, there's already limits. There is no open borders. So I'm saying lower those limits so we don't have an increase in the population of 2.8 million people every year.
Now, reducing immigration doesn't reduce the population on the planet, just the population of the U.S. Why not focus on the global population?
Well, we do focus on the global population, but by reducing the number of Americans, you're actually addressing the issue of consumption, because U.S. citizens consume much more resources than other citizens. So when somebody crosses that border, they become a mega consumer. You know, maybe not right away, but that's where they're heading. And so the more Americans, the greater the level of consumption of resources, the greater the emission of pollution.
Well, it's the environmental footprint, right?
That yes, is so... Americans have the biggest environmental footprint of any citizens on the planet.
At the same time, immigrants have smaller environmental footprints in their countries of origin, often because they're poor. So how fair is it to condemn them to poverty by not allowing them to enter the U.S.?
Well, then what you're doing is condemning the United States to poverty in the future, which is where we're all heading anyway, unless we curb population. The other problem is you have, you know, is that other countries are trying to solve their population surplus problem by pushing people into the United States. And you know, that's and also it's a brain drain too. A lot of people who should, you know, could be making a contribution to their countries of origin are coming to the United States, and that's not solving problems in countries like Guatemala and Honduras and that, where people should you know, be helping to make things better in their country.
To what extent do you think the same issues apply in Canada?
I think Canada also has a problem too, because you know, our population is growing, and that means more wilderness areas being taken up. And my big concern is that people come in, the sprawl increases, there's more and more impact on wilderness. I mean, for instance, we have this situation in the United States. Everybody says, well, we don't understand why the alligators are attacking people. Well, the reason the alligators are attacking is we're moving into their territory. We're taking their, you know, into their ecosystems, and they're trying to survive. And everybody say, well, it's amazing. Why is this happening? Well, because we're invading.
Do you think President Bush's announcement this week calling for National Guard troop reinforcements on the U.S.-Mexico border is a step in the right direction then?
Oh, I think he's just posturing. I mean, 6,000 National Guard isn't going to make any difference at all. Really what they should be doing is enforcing U.S. law against employers of illegal immigrants. And, you know, that's where the key to that, if they were to make it, you know, make sure that people couldn't hire illegal immigrants in the farms and the factories, that would certainly go a lot further to discouraging illegal immigration. I mean, we're talking here legal immigration of 2.8 million new people every year, but the other factor is illegal immigration, which is anywhere from 11 to 20 million illegal immigrants in the United States.
But you want to see them cracking down on both, essentially, not only illegal, but you want legal immigration to be reduced.
Yes.
Paul Watson, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Paul Watson is the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. He was also one of the founders of Greenpeace, and he was on the phone from Seattle. You're listening to The Current on CBC Radio 1 and on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. Well, not everyone in the environmental movement agrees with Paul Watson's argument about the links between immigration and environmental degradation. Elizabeth May is a candidate for the leadership of the Federal Green Party. She's also the former executive director of the Sierra Club of Canada, and she is in Sydney, Nova Scotia this morning. Hello.
Good morning, Anna Maria.
Well, what do you think of Paul Watson, of what he's saying? He says the anti-immigration opinion it is something environmentalists are afraid to talk about.
Well, we've never been afraid to talk about it in Canada. And as you mentioned, I've just recently stepped down as executive director of the Sierra Club of Canada. And while I was there, we actually did a cross-country set of discussions and seminars and came up with what I think is a very good policy in relation to immigration and the interrelationships, which are far more complex than Paul has suggested, between immigration, population pressures, consumption, militarism, women's rights. It's a very complex web. And to say that immigration is the problem is really to put the emphasis on something that is, when you really look at all the various factors, it's basically trivial. I mean, only 3% of the world's population dies in a country other than that in which they were born. And most of that migration is from developing countries to developing countries, not coming into North American consumptive societies. So the key factor here in environmental destruction, as Paul hints, of course, is that North Americans consume far more than any notion of fair share and far beyond any sense of the carrying capacity of the planet. So when you have 4% of the world's population, which is the United States, producing 25% of the planet's greenhouse gases, the answer isn't to make, as George Bush seems to think, to make the United States a gated community and put guys with guns at the border so that we can protect, you know, so the United States can protect a completely unsustainable and highly polluting and unnecessarily consumptive way of life to achieve the quality of life they want. There's other ways to do that, and it means unhooking themselves from their extremely wasteful use of energy. It's not beating up on immigrants.
Well, he says the global population growth used to be the global environmental movement's number one issue, but it disappeared from the agenda in recent years. Why do you think that happened?
Well, it's not quite the way Paul remembers. It is true that I don't think there's any question that environmental groups are concerned about population increases. I mean, The doubling from 3 billion to 6 billion people occurred in my lifetime. The historic trends, I mean, it is more than you know, an astonishing reality that 2,000 years ago the population on Earth was 200 million people. It took 1,500 years for that to double to 400 million. So there are exponential rates of growth. Population is a clear global issue, of which immigration is merely a trivial factor. But when you look at the issue of population and why it's such a significant environmental threat, it's entirely linked to the question of how much is each person on Earth consuming and whether those rates of consumption are sustainable.
So where does global population growth rank then as a threat to the planet's environment?
I think it's a huge issue, but it's very much connected to how much are we consuming. So if you say, well, what's the carrying capacity of planet Earth? Maybe it's 6 billion people living like Gandhi, or, you know, a couple hundred thousand living like Bill Gates. It's very much related to how much is each person consuming. And how do we, you know, it's critical that in North American society, because Canadians have just about as large an ecological footprint as the United States, it's critical that we reduce that enormous impact that we're having. Otherwise, the climate crisis is going to rather redress our standard of living for us.
So is it not true that the one place that you don't want more growth then is a place like the U.S., which already has such consumption?
The issue is really one that's far too complex to say the problem is more immigrants. If you look at Canadian environmental problems, our biggest increase in greenhouse gases and our biggest loss of boreal forests is happening in the Athabasca tar sands, and that's not because of a mass migration of people from other countries rushing there and destroying the environment. That's immigrants like Shell and Exxon. So we have to look at what the real issues are, and where we have increased sprawl, which is a real problem. it's related to bad land use planning. It's related to bad policies that will affect where immigrants settle, and it'll affect where Canadian-born settlement occurs. This is, you know, actually, obviously, everyone in Canada who is in First Nations is an immigrant. We've got to deal with land use planning so that we're not building increased levels of suburban sprawl in areas which are critical wildlife habitat. That is happening in Canada. It is a problem. But curbing immigration is really focusing on the wrong and rather trivial aspect of the overall problem.
How should countries then that rely on immigration for population growth balance that with environmental concerns?
Well, the key is that for all of us, we need to reduce the amount of energy we're consuming, the amount, and that's basically a factor of increasing the efficiency of the way in which we use energy and raw materials. The global economy, just to give you an example, did, in particularly North America, achieved a revolution in productivity in reducing the amount of labor per unit of good produced, per unit of energy. It was just a huge efficiency in the number of people employed to produce goods. We need to do that again by reducing by a factor of 10, which is doable on the technologies that are available, the amount of energy we're using to get the same quality of life, the same lighting, the same heating, the same cooling, can all be achieved at a fraction of what we're now consuming because we've underpriced raw materials and carbon and underpriced energy, and we've overpriced labor. So we've skewed, it's all a question of responding to fiscal signals.
Okay, now, and Paul Watson, though, is not alone in what he says. How much of a wedge issue is immigration amongst environmental in the U.S., first of all? What are you seeing?
In the U.S. it is, and I think it's unfortunate because I know that Paul's motivations are completely honorable. People have attacked him as a racist or something. It's not the case at all. He's genuinely someone concerned, particularly about the fate of non-human life on this planet, and that is a critical concern. We're in a biodiversity meltdown. We're in an extinction crisis. And by focusing on immigration, I must say that's the most divisive and unhelpful way to approach the issue of what can humanity do to reorient ourselves on this planet so that we can both live in peace with each other and not destroy our life support system.
Well, how damaging do you think his line of reasoning is then for the image of the environmental movement?
Well, it was fairly disastrous in terms of just the mere fact that Sierra Club U.S. was considering, and because it's a democratic organization, by their constitution, they had to consider the referendum put forward by a minority of members to vote on an immigration policy. The immigration policy proposed that Paul supported was roundly defeated by the membership of Sierra Club U.S., but I bet a lot of listeners right now are thinking, oh yeah, I remember something about that, about the Sierra Club U.S. thinking that we should, you know, that we should stop immigrants as if they were toxic waste. Well, that is, you know, not an acceptable position, but the mere fact that it was debated, I think has done some long-term damage to the reputation.
If the U.S. experienced a serious population decrease, how much would that relieve the pressure on the environment?
Well, it depends on how much they're consuming. If the United States consumption of particularly of fossil fuels continues at its current rate, which is, you know, if you manage to reduce the number of people in the United States, but every family bought themselves another SUV or moved from an SUV to a Hummer, it would make no difference at all.
So what should U.S. environmentalists who are genuinely concerned about population growth be doing to address this issue?
No, I think the key thing is to protect wilderness by having the kinds of laws that ensure that land use planning does not involve sprawl into areas which are critical and threatened ecosystems. And at the same time, we need to fundamentally re-examine the consumption patterns, our dependency on cheap and very highly polluting fossil fuels to improve, for one thing, regulate vehicle standards. You know, the Bush administration, in addition to putting guards at the border to Mexico, is in court fighting Arnold Schwarzenegger in California, having tougher laws to get better fuel economy from their automobile fleet. So they're opposing those very simple, straightforward measures that would mean that every American driving would pollute less.
Okay.
So it's a really complicated web, and I'm sorry I'm giving complicated answers, but a simple solution,
I asked, it's okay.
Yeah, a simple solution is wrong when the question is complicated.
Elizabeth May, we have to leave it there. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you, Anna Maria.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Elizabeth May is a candidate for the leadership of the Federal Green Party. She's also the former executive director of the Sierra Club of Canada, and she spoke to us from Sydney, Nova Scotia, this morning. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti, and this is The Current.